This is Radio Boston. I'm Jamie Bologna. Somerville Mayor Joe Curtatone is vowing to open a supervised drug consumption site in that city next year. Here he is speaking to WBUR this morning.
We're in the midst of an epidemic, and our goal is to reduce harm and save lives.
Some public health advocates say such facilities allow medical professionals to monitor illegal drug use and potentially prevent overdoses, saving lives. But they violate both federal and state law. On Radio Boston earlier this year, U.S. Attorney for the District of Massachusetts, Andrew Lelling, vowed to oppose and shut down any supervised consumption site.
I want everyone to be very clear about this. Not only would it be illegal to open one, but we would pursue enforcement if they did open one.
And in a statement to WBUR today, Lelling said, quote, if Somerville opens one, federal enforcement will follow. So now it seems that the city and the federal government are on a collision course over supervised consumption sites. What do you think? Should Somerville open a supervised consumption site? What about Boston or your town? Is this the right path forward to deal with the region's overdose crisis? Call us. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining us now on the line is the mayor of a neighboring community, Mark McGovern from Cambridge. Mayor McGovern, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us on the line is Dr. Laura Keough. She's the medical director of the Substance Use Disorder Bridge Clinic at Mass General Hospital and an assistant professor at Harvard Medical School. She's also the secretary of the Massachusetts Society of Addiction Medicine. Dr. Keough, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So, Mayor McGovern, I want to start with you. We heard Mayor Joe Curtatone there from Somerville and U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling. Do you support what your fellow mayor is doing in Somerville?
I do. In fact, I was one of two mayors on the State Harm Reduction Commission that looked at this issue. I traveled to Montreal to look at the safe consumption sites that they operate, and I think that this is a harm reduction strategy that we absolutely should pursue.
So will Cambridge be joining Somerville in pursuing this?
Well, I hope so. I'm a little jealous of my mayor across the border there. In Cambridge's form of government, these kinds of decisions really fall mostly in the hands of the city manager. So I have been working with the city manager, advocating with the city manager. If it were up to me, we would pursue this matter. But unfortunately, I don't get to make that decision unilaterally. So, we will continue to look at it. We have done a lot of work trying to address the opioid crisis in our city. And this is one strategy I hope that we pursue.
So, Mayor McGovern of Cambridge, just to be clear, if you were able to do it, you would?
Yes.
And as we heard at the top, U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling has promised to crack down on those sites. Does that worry you at all?
Well, you know, there are numerous examples throughout our history where issues have to be decided in the courts. And you know, depending on who you, I'm not an attorney, but depending on who you ask, there are some attorneys who feel that the law being used to, that Lelling is using is not necessarily correct in this case. And so that would be something that the lawyers would have to battle out. But, you know, sometimes that's the way it has to be. So, we need cities to step up and be willing to lead that charge. They're doing it in Philadelphia. Now they're going to be doing it in Somerville. And I support them.
So Mayor McGovern, though, what do you say to residents who might be concerned about these types of facilities coming into places like Cambridge or Somerville or even Boston?
Well, I know it's counterintuitive, right? If this is not something that you've looked into and you've read the evidence and you've really spent time studying, it seems like, why would you provide a safe place for people to use drugs? Aren't you encouraging that? But really, when you look at the evidence, that is not accurate. It's not an accurate perception. So there needs to be a public education campaign to help people really understand why these sites are beneficial. And so, this is about harm reduction. You can't get someone into treatment if they're dead. And I hate to be so crass, but that's what we're talking about here. And there has never been an overdose death in a safe consumption site. And so, this is a harm reduction strategy. It is not the only solution. This is a complex issue that's going to take many pieces of the puzzle to put together, but this is one of them. And we would have to really work hard to educate people to understand why this is important. But at the end of the day, you know, this is, we have to be bold in addressing this issue. People are dying every day. And, you know, if we're not willing to sacrifice and to support these types of programs, then we're not really serious about trying to address this issue.
Well, in terms of being serious about addressing this issue, I want to turn to Dr. Laura Keough. She's the medical director of the Substance Use Disorder Bridge Clinic at Mass General Hospital. Dr. Keough, you've been listening here. From a medical perspective, do these facilities work and how?
Yeah, the data is clear. These facilities do work, and it's the one enormous gaping hole in our continuum of substance use disorder care. And it's really inspiring to hear Mayor McGovern speak to this and so eloquently outline what we know. This is, you know, an intervention I think we need to echo him is to double down on the education efforts. I think a lot of the resistance to this is that so many people just don't understand that these are actually medical facilities. These are very non-judgmental, open access, low threshold opportunities for people to come who have historically not been welcome in more traditional treatment models or other settings, where they can come in at any stage of their illness, they can be welcomed, they can be supported, and not only that, not only can they be saved if they do have an overdose within the facility, but it's an opportunity for people to speak to them about their goals of care and hopefully help to navigate people along the pathway to healthier living, be that to eventually abstinence or to safer drug use. And really what supervised consumption sites do is they actually reflect very beautifully the natural history of what we know about substance use disorder, that this is a chronic, meaning we don't have cure for it. We have excellent treatments. It's a relapsing illness, and at times of relapse or of active illness, that's when people are in crisis, and that's when they need the most help at whatever stage we can get to them. And the biggest risk they have is that this is a disease of deep isolation and shame, and people are using alone, so they need have a place where they can be with people who understand this and want to help them.
Dr. Keough, if I may, we actually have some tape here of U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling, who says he's not convinced by the science.
I am not an expert in public health. And when I look at them, it's not clear that studies find, or reliable studies find, a consistently positive effect.
And so, Dr. Keough, when you say it works, are we strictly mm-hmm. speaking about mortality, or are we talking about the addiction crisis at large?
Yeah, I think we're talking about both. And I think Mr. Lelling said it. He's not an expert in this. And I think that the experts have shown in other countries that have supervised consumption sites that not only do they decrease overdose, these are overdose prevention, they save lives, they also decrease the risk of soft tissue and bloodborne illness, of spread to the community, HIV, hepatitis C. They do show that around the community, there's an increase in public safety and a decrease in crime and a decrease in disposal of syringes that are very bothersome to the communities. And they do show an increase of access to care for people who do come through supervised consumption sites. So the data that we have does show that. And I do think, again, this is really a call for action, as the mayor said, that we really need to help to really educate, to demystify this. You know, harm reduction measures are... It's the scaffolding of all medical care that we provide to people for every other chronic relapsing illness that we have. And so if we can look at substance use disorders through the lens of other chronic relapsing illnesses, it really demystifies it. And this is not that far out.
Right.
So I think that's a piece that we can work on.
1-800-423-8255. What do you think? Should Somerville, Cambridge, maybe your city or town, open a supervised consumption site? Call us. We're at 1-800-423-TALK. I want to bring another voice into the conversation. Boston City Councilor Michael Flaherty joins us now on the line. Councilor Flaherty, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you, Dr. Keough, for your work in this space.
So Councilor Flaherty, you've been listening in. What's your take?
Well, obviously, I'll agree with harm reduction saves lives, because when you overdose, there's a healthcare professional right there to help revive you. My concern, and I'll defer to the professionals here, is that I want to ensure that there are paths to recovery for participants. I'd like to hear about the success stories of those that frequent safe injection sites that have gotten clean and sober and have turned their life around. I know that from the city's perspective, we're doing the best we can. We need to look at sort of short, medium, and long-term goals. The fact that the Long Island shelter and that whole bridge debate is conservatively probably 5-6 years away, and then we also know that the safe injection sites are they're federally banned under the Controlled Substance Act, so that's going to be courts and litigation as well. So what are we doing in the short term? And I'm been a strong proponent of treatment on demand. We need more beds. We need more detox and recovery facilities. And we need our suburban counterparts to step up. It's always falling on the shoulders of Boston and Cambridge and Somerville. We need more folks to realize that it's their children, it's their residents as well, and help us site detox and recovery facilities in their respective communities. And
so Councilor Flaherty, do you think Boston should join Somerville in doing this, or do you think
I think
the communities outside of the city should do it?
Yeah, I think Boston's doing their fair share. I mean, just take I'm due to take a tour next week. You guys are more than welcome to join me over there, tour of Mass and Cass and the whole Newmarket area. But we have a Hope, which is at 774 Albany Street. I'm sure the doctor is aware of it, that we have a walk-in clinic as well as a mobile unit that provides tremendous resources. Plus, we have the methadone clinic, the Suboxone. So I think Boston's doing its fair share on the subject matter. We need our suburban counterparts to step up and join us in the fight against the opioid crisis. Mayor Curtatone was right in the onset. It's no longer, it's not a Boston problem. It's not a Cambridge problem. It's not a Somerville problem. It's not even a regional problem. This is a national epidemic.
1-800-423-8255 is the phone number. Dr. Keough, I'll get to you in just a second here, but I want to take a couple of calls. Elizabeth is calling from Somerville. Elizabeth, you're on Radio Boston.
Good afternoon.
Hi, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to say I think this is a great idea. I'm very excited that Mayor Joe is leading in this. I think it's really necessary. Everything I've read about it sounds really positive. This is a real problem in Somerville and throughout the area. I think that, I'm entirely in favor. I think it's great.
Okay, Elizabeth from Somerville, thanks for that call. I want to take another call here, Bob from Peabody. Bob, you're on Radio Boston. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'd like to ask these people, you have a lot of people that want these needle places in there. Will they put it next door to their house? Because I did lose a godson and a nephew to the opioid crisis, and I've lost friends to the opioid crisis. When people just come on the radio and say these are great ideas, would they put them next door to their houses?
Well, Bob, I hear the pain in your voice, and I'm so sorry for your loss. And I do think your experience reflects the experience of many people here in New England. So thank you for sharing it. And, I'm going to put your question, Bob, to our guest, Mark McGovern, Mayor of Cambridge.
I think Bob has a very fair point.
And sorry, can you identify yourself? We've got three phone guests here. So, right, Councilor Flaherty. Go ahead.
I think that Bob has a great point. Interesting enough that the safe injection sites had been proposed, I believe, by suburban legislators, a suburban state rep and a suburban state senator. That's the question I had. If we're going to have one, let's start in their respective community. It's great to have the great idea, but then it's going to get dumped on Boston or Cambridge or Somerville. And I think therein lies the issue, that we're in a crisis that we need all hands on deck, and we need suburban communities to recognize. We just had the issue over at Mass and Cass, over the Newmarket area, where they had 2 or 3 days of arrest. Almost 3/4 of the folks weren't even from Boston. That sort of speaks to the issue here, is that Boston is doing its fair share. The mayor and the city has never committed more funds to recovery in the history of the city, and I'd put us up against anyone with respect to what we're putting on the line in terms of recovery. And I'll speak from a personal perspective. My cousin was a frequent flyer over at the Newmarket area, and his exact words were that if we had safe injection sites, he would push the limits of his high. And unfortunately, we lost him recently to an overdose. But that's his perfect situation, that he had no interest in getting recovery, that he was looking forward to the safe injection sites opening up so that he could push the limits of his eye, maybe even introduce fentanyl. And therein lies the concern that I have, is we need to be focused on pathways to recovery for all participants. And if there's no pathway to recovery via the safe injection sites, I'm going to have major concerns with it being in Boston. However, I open up to the science, I open up to the professionals, and would even open up to other communities stepping up to the plate and offering solutions.
Well, Councilor Flaherty.
Can I jump in?
Yes, yes. I just want to say again, yeah, Councilor Flaherty, I'm sorry for your loss there. And again, I think your experience speaks to the experiences of many of our listeners. Mark McGovern, Mayor of Cambridge, and then I do want to get to Dr. Laura Keogh as well. Go ahead, Mayor McGovern.
So, couple things. My family has lived in the same house in Cambridge for 100 years this year. I still live there with my kids. We are a direct abutter to Cambridge's needle exchange program, which opened in the mid-90s. And so if people, to answer Bob's earlier question, would you want this next to your house? It is next to my house. And when the needle exchange program moved in and they were going to be providing needles to active drug users, we did not fight it. We understand that it needs to be located somewhere, and we understand it's a program that helps people. And my kids, I have 9-year-old twins that get off the school bus every day, that lets them off in front of that program, and we have never had an issue. We have never had a problem. So if that's where it gets located in Cambridge, I am a direct abutter, and I would support it. And that's where we need people to step up. And to Councilor Flaherty's point about suburban communities, you know, we can't keep talking about how we have to solve the problem. We have to solve the problem. And then when we're asked to put our chips on the table, push them over and say, we'll let somebody else do it.
Dr. Laura Keogh, medical director of the Substance Use Disorder Bridge Clinic at Mass General, I'd like you to weigh in here.
Yeah, I'd love to speak especially to the question of treatment pathways. You know, one thing that was mentioned was about wanting to see people who get better. And I can tell you, I run a low-threshold immediate access treatment on demand program, and we get many of our referrals from syringe exchange programs, both from Cambridge and AHOPE, and word of mouth off the street, and from the emergency room after people have overdosed or have had really significant, horrible consequences of their drug use, and people coming in on their own. So the pathways are there. The greater issue is that the other issue is that access to really immediate, accessible, and evidence-based treatment is also the big elephant in the room, that not everybody is getting to that, and that includes medications like methadone and buprenorphine or Suboxone, but also all pathways. And the message that we spoke a little bit before is for many people, they are going to get to remission, to full remission, and that would be the goal for everybody for any illness. However, as I said earlier, this illness is punctuated by relapses and by active illness moments or relapses throughout the chronicity of the illness, as is hypertension and diabetes, for example. And so during those times, having supervised consumption sites where people can be safe, and to the comment about your cousin, Councillor Flaherty, I'm so sorry. That also is not so surprising. That's part of the evolution of this illness. There are phases when people are actively using, and that may be ambivalence, is, you know, wanting two things at once is really the underscoring of this illness as well. And so it may have been that your cousin was at that stage where many patients are, and that's the exact time we want to see people at a place like that where professionals can work with him to figure out why that is, what else they can do to keep him safe during that period of time when he's using, and hopefully help him navigate along the pathway to greater health as he gets toward whatever works for him, and balancing competing priorities and patients' lives.
Well,
but
Dr. Keogh,
many people are not speaking to that because of the stigma around this, that they're embarrassed. Even my patients who are actively seeking services from us, getting safe works, getting education about how to stay safe when they're using, are embarrassed to talk about it. And then when they're sober, they particularly may not feel comfortable doing so. So it's hard. We're seeing people in crisis, and we're seeing them often and frequently on the street, but we're not hearing as much from people who are well-seated in remission and recovery or have had experiences that you're looking to see.
Well, and actually, we spoke earlier today to Paul Bowman. He's a member of the Boston Users Union and on the board of the National Alliance for Medication-Assisted Recovery. And here's what he said about why he thinks this is a good idea.
People are using wherever there's a place to use, unfortunately. So if we had a safe place, that at least you'd have less of a chance of of maybe a really bad outcome.
So it seems to me this keeps coming back to this idea of preventing deaths and then helping people get over addiction. And so, Dr. Keough, is that really the core of this issue?
No, I think it is for many people. There's this desire, and understandably, people want to fix this problem, and seeing people who are using drugs makes people feel uncomfortable. The dirty little secret about substance use disorders, and in particular opioid use disorder, is when people get the right care, the majority of them get better. And that's the message that we also need to get
but
out.
But do these facilities lead to people getting that care?
Yes, they do. And again, redefining what we are comfortable with and what we know is better and what is health. So if somebody is in a safe consumption site, for example, and they are able to wash their hands, they are able to use sterile equipment, they are able to decrease their risk of getting an infection in their bloodstream that leads to open heart surgery or leads to spreading HIV and hepatitis C or leads to discarding syringes or leads to an overdose, and they can come in and be safely doing that while they're actively using, that's health. And so is the person who then comes to, say, the Bridge Clinic and starts Suboxone and gets recovery coaching and gets their depression treated and we get housed. And so is the person who continues to use during that period, and so is the person who gets to full remission and becomes a recovery coach themselves. Or, you know, so that whole natural history at each point in a person's life, depending on that person's individual needs and competing priorities in their lives, those are all markers of health and the trajectory is up. So looking at it in this black and white abstinence versus homeless and using on the street and overdosing is really missing the mark of what we define as medical providers and experts in this and patients as what health is and what we're looking for. And I think appealing to people who struggle with so much with what active drug use looks like and applying this. We know that this is an illness. We know that we have treatments that work. This is one component of it. But also speaking to the financial impact and the emotional impact, the impact on the Department of Children and Family Services.
Well, and I actually want to bring in someone who has another personal experience with this. Gretchen is calling from Needham. Gretchen, you're on Radio Boston. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So first, in the late 90s, early 2000s, I worked doing some research on different types of psychotherapy support for people in methadone clinics. But that was way before this crisis hit. But the personal story is that one of my brother's best friends growing up became a heroin addict. And he is now 10 years sober, doing well, just got married, living healthfully. But one of the reasons he's living healthfully is that when he was going through his process of atonement and coming clean, he told me that he used to steal my insulin syringes from under the sink at our house. And he said that that was why he never got HIV or hepatitis C, that his life was saved because he had access to clean needles. And so how much more can we help people? There's so much trouble going on right now. So to have this individual personal story of one person who was able to just have clean needles, how many more stories like that can we have from safe injection sites where people are being watched and cared for and getting into the system?
Well, Gretchen, thank you for sharing your story. Again, I can hear the emotion there in your voice, and so I really appreciate you calling in. And I just want to turn to our guests for just final thoughts. We are, of course, as always, flat out of time here. So if we could just have quick thoughts from Mayor Mark McGovern from Cambridge, what's the way forward in just a couple of seconds?
I think it's to open facilities, challenge it in court. We have to remember this is about harm reduction. And it's one piece of a very complicated puzzle, but we need to keep people alive so that they can get the treatment that they desperately need.
That's Mark McGovern. He's mayor of Cambridge. We were also joined this segment by Dr. Laura Keough. She's the medical director of the Substance Use Disorder Bridge Clinic at Massachusetts General Hospital, and Michael Flaherty, Boston City Councilor. I want to thank all of you for joining us, and our callers, thank you for calling and sharing your stories and your experiences on this topic. The opioid epidemic crisis is one affecting so many families. So thank you. This is Radio Boston. I'm Jamie Bologna. We'll be back after a short break.